may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know, I know he's all right. Is he all right? Well, say yeah. Say yeah. He's all right. He's all right. Thank you, Lord. Some of us want people to be on our side. But I just need the word. Because people change. They come in your life for times, reasons, and seasons. And they do what they do and then they're gone. But the word of God is there forever. The word of God never changes. The word of God is what lifts us up when we're feeling low. It's not people that lift us up. It's the word of God. It's the word of God that makes me feel like I can go on in spite of what I'm going through. It's the word that wakes me up every day and say, get up. Time to face it again. We do not have to face our troubles alone. We don't have to face any issue alone. The word of God says he will never leave you or forsake you. But he'll be with you even until the what? End of the world. Now that's endurance. That's why Paul could be looking at Nero's chopping block, about to be beheaded, and still say, I'm not ashamed. He still said, I'm not ashamed. I'm facing this, but I got the Lord on my side. Paul, shipwreck, snake bitten. I didn't tell you all about him. He shipwrecked 3 times in the sea, but the word. Snake bitten, but the word.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And when you turn to that, I want you to pay close attention to the fact that the Hebrew writer is encouraging us to do something so very important that will literally affect each and every day of our lives if we do this. If you're there already, say amen. Amen. Let us begin reading now. Looking. Amen. You may be seated. If you don't mind, for just a few moments this morning, help me if you don't mind saying to your neighbor, neighbor, don't stop looking at Jesus. Tell the other neighbor, neighbor, don't stop looking at Jesus. Now you need to say to yourself, self, don't stop looking at Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of praise, because that's exactly what we're encouraged to do. As the writer of the Hebrews finishes up the 11th chapter, sharing with us all of these great men and women of faith, and how he lays out before us how important faith is to the Christian walk. And then when he walks through this 11th chapter and gets to the beginning of the 12th chapter, he talks about this great cloud of witnesses that are observing us, our walk, our talk, our lifestyle, and are cheering us on and praying and hoping for us that we too will become a part of that great cloud of witnesses. He then gives us a helpful, holy hint as to how to walk by faith, talk by faith, live by faith, and actually through faith, make it one day to be with the Lord eternally. He says, looking continually, looking constantly, looking consistently, where? At Jesus, unto Jesus. One of the reasons why it's important for us to know that the writer of the Hebrews says looking unto Jesus is because when we observe things, we intake information. All information may not be inspirational, but it is informational. And sometimes it is the information that we take in that form the basis for our thoughts and for our ideals and for our actions, our attitudes, our ambitions, and our activities. And so he wants us to focus our view on the right thing and the right person, and that is Jesus. Not just look at him and see him once or in one area or in one arena, but constantly, consistently, continually, in every area of life, we discover that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, first of all, what this literally says to us is, and this is why it's so important to keep looking at it, because the first thing I want to say about this verse is that we need to look at the fact that looking at Jesus gives us inspiration. Somebody say inspiration. You ain't never been inspired like you will be inspired until you really get a close look at Jesus. When you see what Jesus has done and then says, these things and greater than these shall ye do, because I go back to my Father. He's talking to the believers. He's talking about those who are observing him. They are informed by him. They are inspired by him. And then they want to become like him. He sets the tenor and the tone for us to be able to live a successful, holy life in a hellish world because of the examples he himself has said. There is nothing that you can go through in this life that Jesus hadn't dealt with, and that he can't show you how to deal with. Nothing he has not been in that he can't show you how to come out. Nothing that he himself has had to deal with that brings us to a new level of understanding, a new level of development, a new level of discernment, to the point and place where we become more like him, because the more we observe him, the more we talk like him, walk like him, live like him, become like him, we will then enact the very things he did here on planet Earth. When he was getting ready to leave, he told his disciples, occupy till I come. Well, what does that mean, occupy till I come? Well, it literally means to the believers, keep on doing what I've showed you to do. Now, the only one who can occupy are those who've been informed and inspired by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the example for each of us to follow. Do you know why Christian lives become stagnant and stale and even stinky? Because we stop looking at Jesus. When you read the Gospels, you will find out Jesus didn't live a boring life. It was exciting. It was filled with vigor, vim, and vitality. It was life-changing. It was powerful. It was anointed. It was able to do any and everything that God had allowed and commanded him to do according to the word. And so many of our lives, we lose our joy. We lose our ability to be witnesses. We lose our ability to save other souls and to reach out and help others who are down. We're so messed up ourselves that when we see folk messed up, we simply say, Lord, thank you, I ain't as messed up. And keep on going to the other side. But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to have so much life, John 10:10 tells us, that he came that we might, the believers might, have more life and that more abundantly. The life that comes through Jesus Christ is true life. It's everlasting life. It's real life. It's the kind of life that brings you joy in the midst of your sorrow. It's the kind of life that lifts you up when life knocks you down. It's the kind of life that gives you encouragement when all around you is discouragement. When you look unto Jesus, I tell you what, you won't ever leave discouraged. Looking unto Jesus, the author, he's the beginning of our faith. But let me tell you why some of us can't finish our faith. Because we stop looking before our faith is finished. Let me give you a little simple illustration. One time, I was having some concrete laid at my house. And I wanted it to look like the other concrete. And when the concrete layers had laid the concrete, and I was looking, one of the fellas at the end saw my disappointment in how the concrete looked. And I was very clear about what I wanted. And I was clear that they were clear about what I wanted. But when I saw what I saw, the disappointment was on my face that this didn't look like that. And the man who was finishing up laying the concrete, he says, how does it look so far? I say, how does it look so far? He said, yeah. He said, well, we just laid the concrete. He said, but we don't finish it. He said, we got a finisher. He's on the way. And when he finishes it, it's going to look just like that.
And so I had to realize that some things have a start and a finish, but others come in and finish what others started. But Jesus finishes what he started. And everything that he has started and every good work that he has started in you, he's going to finish it someday. That's one of the things I love about the fact that he is the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the author and finisher of our faith. So if it ain't finished, don't stop looking. Well, preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, take your eyes off your mess. Take your eyes off your situation. Take your eyes off your troubles and put them back on Jesus, because he ain't through with you nor your situation yet. I wish somebody say inspiration. Keep looking at Jesus, because he is our inspiration. It's easy to get discouraged looking at all of the stuff going on in this world. What's going on the news? What's going on in the newspapers? What's going on social media? It's discouraging. It's downright disgusting. But it isn't until you start looking back at Jesus that the inspiration begins to rise afresh in you, no matter how the world has depressed you and discouraged you and brought you down to a low place. Keep looking unto Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus. Listen, so inspiration is what we get from watching the one who starts and finishes every good thing in our lives. So the word says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him did two things: endured the cross, despising the shame. Second thing, when we look at Jesus, we ought to have is appreciation. Somebody ought to say appreciation. See, if you can't appreciate somebody who was looking out for you before you ever looked out for yourself, if you can't appreciate somebody who took a whipping that was meant for you, who hung on the cross not for his own sins, but your own sins, one who died in your place substitutionarily, if you can't appreciate somebody who left glory and came down to earth, took on the form of flesh, as Sister Bowman said, through 42 generations to come here to save his people from their sins, because there was none other who could do what he could do. If you can't appreciate somebody who made it clear that he would pay the price for you, which you were unable to pay for yourself, if you can't appreciate him, you can't appreciate nothing and nobody. You ought to be able to appreciate Jesus like nobody else. Here's why. Because there are some things you know Jesus has done for you that you hope nobody ever finds out about. You can sit here and act all holier than thou if you want to. You can sit here now that you have been changed and rearranged. You have, you know, been matured and you've come through some stuff and you ain't what you used to be and don't do what you used to do. But don't think somebody don't know what your past used to be. Don't act like you are all angel now and ain't never been a hellion before, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care if you sing like an angel now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And nothing disturbs me more than when we have elevated somewhat in our Christian lives and we see someone else struggling. And instead of helping them out of their struggles, we sit there and ridicule them. And we find fault and we pick at and tear down and talk about instead of encouraging and saying, listen, I see your struggle. I know your pain. And listen, what you've got to realize is that's a place that nobody really wants to be in, especially as a believer. And wouldn't it be good for us to be able to appreciate what the Lord Jesus did for us and then help someone else who, for the joy that was set before him. Well, who was the joy? Turn to your neighbor and help me preach this message and say, neighbor, you're looking at his joy. Turn to the other neighbor and say, neighbor, you're looking at his joy. Now, don't be selfish. Say, neighbor, you are his joy. Hallelujah. Come on, give him some praise if you appreciate that he saw what you couldn't see and came down and did for you what you couldn't do. You ought to appreciate him. Now, that's why nobody ought to have to beg you to praise him. That's why nobody ought to beg you to thank him. That's why nobody ought to beg you to give him glory. Nobody ought to have to tell you, clap your hands, because he said, clap your hands, all ye people, all ye nations. Praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You ain't got where you are on your own. You ought to be able to say, thank God for the appreciation I have for Jesus. I appreciate. That's why when I hear the name Jesus and I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, not anybody else, for me, I can't help but give him praise. My heart can't help but become full. I was on my way to hell, but Jesus stepped in and intercepted my course. I got to praise him for me. I ain't praising him for you. You know what? That's why I need to look at him and not at you. Because you looking at me, rolling your eyes, looking at me like, what's his problem? I ain't got no problem. Jesus fixed my problem. And my problem would be for me to sit here and act like he didn't. Because I've seen the lightning flashing and I've heard the thunder roar. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer John Edwin Montgomery's soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. Why? Because he promised never to leave me alone. Did he make that promise to anybody else? Yeah. So I appreciate him. And then lastly, listen, not only is that inspiration by looking at Jesus and appreciation for what Jesus has done, because he endured, which means he suffered. This cross represents the emblem of suffering and shame. But it also represents justice and joy. And then thirdly, it represents death and destiny. So that's why when I think about the cross of Christ, it's not just about what he has done, but it's about what he's doing right now. And because of what he's doing right now, I read the rest of the text that tells me what's going to happen later, which calls for my third and final point, celebration. Yeah. See, what you don't understand is there is a great celebration coming. And so I need you to see that this word makes clear he endured the cross. Now just take one moment, if you don't mind, and just go back to that scene where Jesus has already been nailed to the cross. He's already been hung high on the cross. He's already been in excruciating, agonizing pains from the 39 licks that were placed on his back, one lick short of killing him. And in all of that pain, with all of that blood loss, with all of that strength loss, with all that he has gone through, he could have come down at any point. Which is why my appreciation for him is so great, because so many times I tried to put myself in his position. And I gotta be real with y'all. I would not have stayed on the cross as long as he did. All right. Especially with those folk talking about if you be the Son of God. Folk hating on me, railing on me, talking about me. I could not have stayed on the cross that long. Can I just be real with you? Probably wouldn't even been nailed to the cross. I probably would have, if I would have endured the beating. Let me show you. Because they doubted I was the Son of God. Everyone that beat me, spat on me, pulled the hair out of my beard, did me like they did me, I would have angels invisible. Take the same whip they whipped me with and whip the natural bone. You know it wasn't nothing but hell in them, don't you? My mission that day would have been to whip the hell out of them. So they would have known I was the Son of God. I just wouldn't have done what he did. I wouldn't have gone through what he'd gone through. I would not have endured. Now, you might have done it, but I was looking at me. I did not have the ability to do it. Listen, and for people who were ungrateful, for ingrates, the same people that saw me heal, lay hands on, deliver them from demonic possession, feed hunger. I mean, all of the men standing around there, and they were some of the same ones that said, crucify? No, it would read a little bit different, especially in the Gospel of John. But listen, after he endured the cross, despising the shame, because listen, shame is a powerful medium. You'll be surprised what folk won't do for shame's sake. And what folk go through because of shame's sake. But with the shame, he hung on that cross, knowing he had never sinned one sin in his life. And while looking at all the sinners, he decided to die.